Imam Din conveyed my forgiveness to the offender, who had now gathered all his shirt round his neck, stringwise, and the yell subsided into a sob. The two set off for the door. "His name," said Imam Din, as though the name were part of the crime, "is Muhammad Din, and he is a budmash." Freed from present danger, Muhammad Din turned round in his father's arms and said gravely, "'Tis true that my name is Muhammad Din, Tahib, but I'm not a budmash, I'm a man." From that day dated my acquaintance with Muhammad Din. Never again did he come into my dining room, but on the neutral ground of the garden we greeted each other with much state, though our conversation was confined to "Salam Tahib" from his side and "Salam Muhammad Din" from mine. Daily on my return from office, the little white shirt and the fat little boy used to rise from the shade of the creeper-covered trellis where they'd been hid, and daily I checked my horse there, that my salutation might not be slurred over or given unseemly. Muhammad Din never had any companions. He used to trot around the compound and in and out of the casserole bushes on mysterious errands of his own. One day I stumbled upon some of his handiwork far down the grounds. He had half buried the polo ball in dust and stuck six shrivelled old marigold flowers in a circle around it. Outside that circle again was a rude square, traced out in bits of red brick, alternating with fragments of broken china, the whole bounded by a little bank of dust.